All right, come on. Hey, good morning, everybody. Turn to your neighbor and say Happy New Year. Yeah, this is the last day of the year, isn't it? So we want to be welcome the new year in tonight. I hope that you're not going to be out late, because if you are, you're going to get frozen. So be careful tonight. Hey, I want to introduce to you my sister and brother-in-law. They're here from Bolivar, Tennessee, Lisa and Keith Raines. Why don't y'all stand up, wave at everybody. Yeah. Keith was diagnosed with lymphoma cancer this year. He'd been treated for it, and God totally healed him. And so there he is right there. You're back 100% now, Keith. Yeah, so many of you prayed for him, and we appreciate that. That was really great. And so, Turner, my nephew's here too. Glad to see you. Turner, did you lose your razor? What happened? You're looking good, baby. Looking good. Last year, this time, I gave you a vision for the future, vision for 2017. I said, we're building a community for those who are searching for more of God. That's really what we're all about. Creating and building the community, relationships, friendships, being together, living together, not in a commune, not in a weird sense, but in the sense that, hey, we're doing life together. And we want to find those, you know, and look for those that are actively searching for and seeking more of God. I want more of God in my life. I want more of God in your life. I want more of God in our corporate life together. And so that really is what we're all about. And we said that this year our real word was going to be believe. We're going to believe God to do something that only God can do. And we've had that kind of year. And I want to give you just a little bit of the highlights of all that. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 2. This is the New Living Translation. It says, let all that I am praise the Lord, and may I never forget the good things that he does for me. That ought to be our heart attitude right there, is that everything within us, we praise God, we thank God, we glorify God, we honor God, and we never forget the great things that he has done for us. You know, because what happens is God does great things for us, and then we get into a mentality, such a consumer mentality, what have you done lately for me, God? Rather than really having that kind of attitude, you know what? God has blessed my life. I promise you, if you're sitting here today, you're blessed. You may not think you're blessed, but if you got to this morning to wake up on a garbage pit in Manila, you would think, wow, you wouldn't trade lives with them, would you? No, because God has blessed us. He really has blessed us. And so I thought I'd just share with you some of the things that God did, some of the benefits, some of the blessings, some of the good things that God did for us in 2016. In 2016, 2016, we looked at some of the things that had happened during the year, and we said, okay, we want to change. This coming year, 2017, we want to be better. 2016, we had 8 baptisms. We thought, we got to do better than that. Let's shoot for 100. Wow. Wow. And as of last Sunday, we have had 103 wow. people baptized. Yeah, that's pretty cool. We had 12 small groups at the end of 2016. Today, we have 33 small groups. 50% of all the jobs in the church were taken, volunteer jobs. You know, it takes about, I don't know, about 200 and some odd number of people to run this, everything that goes on in the church in a week. And so we had about 50% of those jobs taken. In other words, people said, I'll volunteer for that. I'll do that. Today, we have 93%. So we've engaged a lot more folks. We had an average attendance in 2016 of 565, and for 2017, we were pretty flat in that we were 551. But don't forget, we launched 2 church plants this year from that. We had revenue of 2016, just our general tithes and offerings, of $1.8 million. As of today, we are over $2 million in revenue this year so far. We had $150,000 as of last Sunday given to World Missions. And this Sunday, some of you are probably going to add to that. 600 to 700 individual donors make up our donor base. And so when I say an individual donor, like Nancy and I are an individual donor. We represent the two of us. Matthew Rowland's an individual donor. He and Jane represent 12. And so trying to extrapolate how many people do those donors come into, and we've got about somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 people that call Trinity Church their home. And that's a pretty amazing thing. And we had 345 guest cards. We have 122 decisions, and those are the decisions that actually signed a card. We have no way of remembering or trying to keep up with who all really made decisions, raised their hand, or came to the altar during the year. But we had 122 that actually signed a card, 58 new members, and 9 child dedications. In 2017, we sent out and subsidized 2 church plants. We had building improvements, a new auditorium entrance on the northwest corner. We had new drive-up ramps into the parking lot, new entrance doors on the education building. We implemented a system for the discipleship journey. Many of you went through that this year. Every Sunday morning during the second service time, we have a 4-part discipleship series that we teach and trying to get everybody on the same page in what we believe and how we do church. We developed a new worship team, worship leader, Esther O, who wasn't here today. Thank you, Mark and Lori, for being here. Mark and Lori's daughter, Chelsea, is our permanent guest worship leader. She comes in about once or twice a month. And then Esther O is our worship leader, and we put together a whole new team and really built a whole new team. So that's exciting. We've rebranded the C3 Trinity Church. We have new signs. We have a new website. We've streamlined the staff. We've started a new start to the men's ministry. We had a powerful women's ministry move this year. We had 2+1 evangelistic events where people came just to hear the gospel. And we had a new revamping of our children's ministry. Carolyn Strickfaden has taken that, LaFay Edwards and Caitlin Falker. And as of the end of this year, we finished our 8th year as chaplain for the SMU football team. Over this last 52 weeks, today is the 36th Sunday that I preached in 2017. So what I try to do is take a look at the calendar for the year and pencil myself in there 36 to 40 times. And I'm usually somewhere between 36 and 38. And then we have several of our staff preach. And then we have invited people that come. And I know some of you, you know, you come only when an invited person is here. You think, does Pastor Joe ever preach? Look at me, read my lips. 36 times this year I preach. Okay? And so we've had Eldred Sawyer, Jurgen Metesis, Rob Carmen, Andrew Kabbalah, Pete Chambers, Major Pete Chambers, you know, came. He's a Special Forces guy and shared. Wellington Boone was here. Jay John was here from England. Gordon Moore, Sean Morris, Scott Hinkle, really amazing street evangelist, and Janine Kabbalah. So we've had great. And what my theory on that is this, is that if you listen to me 52 Sundays in a row, you would not get a well-balanced diet. You get lots of meat and lots of potatoes, but you might not get that, you know, dessert that you've been looking for. Or you might not get the bread and butter that you want or that you need or pasta, like every once in a while, just a pasta, you know. So that's why I bring in other people. So you can have a well-balanced meal of the Word of God, right? And that's important to us. We've made an impact. And what you see this morning on this last Sunday of the year is not the totality of who we are and what we do. We have a footprint that's much bigger than what you actually see here. First of all, this is the second service of the day. Secondly, we are partnering with some of the greatest ministries in town. Care Center Ministries, I read their report at the end of the year. Over 20,000 people they've served this year, the poor. The homeless, the addicted. They've had thousands of turkeys and Thanksgiving groceries that were delivered to one particular, the poorest zip code in Dallas. You guys are a major part of that. We are their major partner. Wow. And so when they succeed, it's because we succeed together. And so Care Center Ministry, YWAM Dallas, David Funky. David's done a phenomenal job with young kids in East Dallas. I mean, he's reaching out to these young kids, minority children, for the most part, who have no place to go, nothing to do, bringing them in, teaching them the Word of God, giving them a place to belong and a safe place to be. And we're a part of all that. We are his major donor. His Work Ministry, Debbie and Ed Blair. Debbie and Ed Blair went one time to YWAM for a work day, saw a need, and began to do something about it. Today, they have about a $200,000 budget. They built a playground in East Dallas. They've been a major influence in that area, working with YWAM and working with David Funke, and done a phenomenal job. I think they just got back from a girls retreat. They have a little ministry called His Girls. It started out with four or five of the young ladies. Now they have 50 or 60 young women that they are ministering to on a weekly basis, giving them a meal, teaching them the Word of God, teaching, bringing leaders in to inspire them, to encourage them, to bless them, showing them that the world is bigger than the little neighborhood that they live in, and doing an amazing job. Ben Milam Elementary, every week, every other week, we go to the elementary school across the block, and the principal and the administration there love us, and we're over there. The kids know our names. We teach them leadership principles. One time a semester, we get to talk to their parents and teach them leadership principles. Every year, we give all the teachers and aides there a gift card to Target, a $50 gift card, each one of them a $50 gift card to Target, as our appreciation. Your money's sewed into that. That's what you're doing. You're involved in that. We are involved in the Council for Life. We're a major donor there to really to see the right to life to be extended to those who may not observe that. And so I'm happy about being involved in that. In Mozambique, Jeff and Nikki Reese and Chris and Deb Mass are doing an amazing job. You were here during the front line. You heard a little bit about what they're doing. It's unbelievable what they have accomplished there. And we're right on the forefront of that. Cultivate Leadership China. We are Kevin and Lisa Evans' major donor. And they are at the forefront and riding the wave of the newest revival in China among the upper middle class and upper classes of China. Amazing. He has church plants that the leadership of those church plants are CFOs and CEOs of major corporations in Shanghai. And so he's uniquely gifted to reach the upper elite, the business elite of that nation, and see them won for Christ and see them planting churches. Amazing thing. Victory World Missions, Rob and Ginger Karen preach to thousands of people this year, and every word they speak, they go as members of this church and as partners with Trinity Church, influencing the leadership of the nations and doing a fantastic job. We support apostolic fathers, Daniel Matei, Roger Woolcott, who oversee hundreds and hundreds of churches. We have missionaries that we've sent out from here, Chrissy Clark, Dana Driggers. We take short-term missions, Berlin, Cuba, Costa Rica. All these are ways that our footprint is much bigger than what you see here. This is what you're involved in. This is what you're doing. This is what we are doing together when we give of our tithes, we give of our offerings. We take advantage of the fact that God has blessed us financially by giving more. That's what we do. We give more. And so we're excited about that. This doesn't even include the thousands and thousands of unprovoked acts of kindness and benevolence that you have shown toward your neighbors, your friends, and your families. Thousands of things. You just think back over the years, the kindness that you have showed to a neighbor, to a friend, to a family member, where you introduced either by word or deed them to Jesus Christ. And so that's powerful. And we belong to a network, a family, a global family of churches called C3. And there's over 450 churches in our family that are doing the very same things that we're doing. So you're part of a much, much bigger picture. And I want to just take a minute and don't forget that the Lord did it through us. Let's give him a big hand. Yeah, let's give the Lord a big hand. I think the scriptures are true. I think they're in it is contained revelation for us today. And in it are lessons for us today. And so I want to take a look at a passage from 2 Chronicles chapter 26. If you brought your Bible, you can turn there. I'm not going to give you the words overhead like I normally do because I'm going to skip through it and not go verse by verse. But I want to talk to you about a king, an ancient Judean king named Uzziah. How many of you ever heard of Uzziah? Raise your hand real high. A few of you, that's good. Uzziah. And so we're going to talk about Uzziah just for a few minutes, because I think Uzziah in his life has a warning for us today. Okay? When we're thinking about where we want to head in 2018, the first word that brings and comes out to me is we want to head into more of God's presence. I want that for myself. I want that for you. I want that for us. I want more of God's presence. I love good preaching. It's great. I love good teaching. It's great. I love good ministry. It's great. I love good fellowship. It's great. But there's nothing that beats the presence of the Lord, the tangible presence of God, that God's presence is really with us. And I'm asking in 2018, the week that we set aside for him, that God would begin to multiply that desire inside of us, that faith would begin to build, that we really could see something amazing. You know, over the last about 3 or 4 weeks, I've had 4 prophetic words. I used to get them when I was younger a lot of times, but I haven't had 1 prophetic word in 4 years. And over the last month and a half or so, I've had 4. And all of them revolve around the same idea. I'm going to share this more with you Sunday night next week. But they revolve around the same idea, is that God has allowed us the opportunity to sow lots and lots and lots of seed. Financially, we've sown lots of seed. Equity-wise, in our work, we've sown lots of seed. We've sown lots of seed in people. We've sent out churches to be planted, leaders to be planted. We've sent out seed in short-term mission trips. We've sent out seed to missionaries. We've sent out lots of seed. We've planted and thrown lots of seed out there. And the Bible says that we shouldn't grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap. And I just feel like that we're headed into that due season. A time and a season where all the seeds that we've sown in our families' lives, our friends' lives, in the community, into the city, to the nation, to the world, that we're going to begin to see a harvest out of those seeds. You know, the thing about a seed is you plant one corn kernel seed in the ground, you get a stalk with lots of ears on it, with lots of corn coming back. So the one makes many. Well, we've sown more than one seed. We've sown thousands and thousands of seeds, and I'm expecting a harvest of thousands and thousands plus on top of thousands. And I want you to expect that too. That's why I think this coming week when we are together, next Sunday night through next Friday night, is going to be an awesome time. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to set aside whatever you had planned those nights and just be here. During lunch, if you want to come and pray with us and during the noon hour, Monday through Friday, we're going to be here praying. I don't want you to think about right now what all you have to do. You get to spend a week with your brothers and sisters seeking the Lord. Yep. And believing that God is going to bring his presence and a desire for his presence more into our lives. And so I'm hungry for God. I want to encourage you to go. And I want to ask you, just to whatever excuse that you make, just tear that up and throw it in the garbage. Just say, you know what? There's 52 weeks in a year. Surely I can take 5 nights and be somewhere. Like one person shook their head. So yeah. There's 52 weeks in a year. Surely I can take 5 nights and be and do something, right? Go your head like that. Yeah, you're hearing me. That's right. It's fantastic. Well, let's look at Uzziah here, okay? Uzziah was in desperate need of a week like we're about to have. Here he goes. Chapter 26, verse 1, 2 Chronicles. Now all the people of Judah, took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king. They did this instead of his father, Amaziah. And Uzziah built Elath and restored it to Judah. And after the king rested with his fathers, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. And he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah. How'd you like to have a mother name like that? Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. What a great picture that is. That prosperity doesn't come as a result of your good looks, your great talent, your brains, your ideas, that prosperity comes as a result of you seeking the Lord. And that's how this 16-year-old boy king began to get successful. He began to become successful. And so it says that as long as he sought the Lord in verse 5, God made him prosper. Now, the prosper here is not just financially he made him prosper, although it includes that. But he made him prosper in what he put his hands to, made him prosper in his work, made him prosper in his talent, made him prosper in his gift. He made him prosper in his family, okay? And so as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Verse 6, now when he went out and made war against the Philistines, he broke down the wall of Gath. Now, Gath was where the giants lived, remember? Goliath of Gath, okay? So he broke down the wall of the giants, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities around Ashdod among the Philistines. I mean, this guy was amazing. He tore down the strongholds of the enemies of Judah. And then he inhabited them. He went and built houses and castles and forts and stuff there and inhabited the territory of his enemies. All right? And the Bible says in verse 7 that God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal, and against the Munites. Also, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. And his fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. Look at me for just a minute. Say this. Exceedingly strong. Say that.
Strong.
Yeah, he became exceedingly strong. All right. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. That means he put weapons in them. Also, he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. And he also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for Uzziah loved the land. He loved it. He loved his country. He loved his people. He loved what God had been doing there. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number on their roll, as prepared by Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. And the total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. He had 2,600 generals in his army. Wow, that's a lot of generals. Now watch this. And under their authority was an army of 307,500. 307,500. Within an army, okay? And that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Verse 14, then Uzziah, he prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped. That's not the end of the verse. Till he became strong, period. Wow. I mean, up until this moment, he's done everything right. He sought the Lord. He's pulled down the walls and the cities of the high places. He's re-inhabited his country. He loved his country. He's gathered an army. He set mighty men in control of the army. He's done everything up until this moment and been prospered by God. God helped him get defeat after defeat after defeat. God helped him. And the Bible says it right here is his fame spread far and wide. He became famous, for he was marvelously helped until he became strong. Now listen to this next verse. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. He decided that now that he's famous, now that he's rich, now that he's prosperous, now that he's strong, now that he's got such a footprint over Judah and such a strength over his adversaries. That now is the time for him to move out of his realm and open himself up into a whole new realm. That he's going to go from soldier, politician, king, to priest. And he himself is going to light the fires of revival. Well, the Bible says that Azariah, the priest, went in after him. And with him were 80 priests of the Lord, all of them valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah. They said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." What we need today is we need more Azariahs. We need more priests, more men of God, more women of God to stand up and say, "You know what? You got no business standing in that place. You know what? You got no business being critical anymore. You know what? You need to stop being so independent and so arm's length with everybody, thinking you got the answer to revival inside of you. You don't need anybody else. You need to get out of that place quick." And so they said that to him, and they withstood him. Verse 19 says he became furious. I mean, how dare you speak against his authority? And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, watch this now, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there, right there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because he knew that the Lord had struck him. Verse 21, Bible says, "And King Uzziah was a leper until the day he died. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord." Now, I think that story is more than just a historical story about an ancient king. I think it has insight, I think it has revelation, and I think it has instruction for us. Think about leprosy just a minute. I didn't know a whole lot about leprosy, so I did what every good preacher does. Turn to Wikipedia, find out what leprosy is. And I found out from Wikipedia that the symptoms of leprosy, first of all, leprosy is a long-term bacterial infection. You can get the germ of leprosy and not have the evidence of it until 20 years later. And so it's something that grows inside of you until an opportune time comes for it to come out. And so leprosy is an infection. It's a long-term infection. It's not something that you get acutely. You know, the reason that they made leper colonies and they put all the lepers there because they were very, very concerned about the infectiousness of it. But it turns out that leprosy is not very infectious at all. I mean, you really have to try to get it from somebody. It's mostly among the poor. Over half the leprosy cases in the world right now, 200,000, over half of them take place in India. And so this leprosy is a long-term malignancy, a long-term infection, all right? And what happens is you begin to get numb in your extremities. You get to where you can't feel anything. You can't feel cold, can't feel heat. A lot of the people that have leprosy, the reason they lose their fingers or their hands or their feet, their toes, is because they accidentally injure them by setting their hands on a hot stove or by cutting themselves or hurting themselves without even knowing because they can't feel any pain from it. Gets infected, they lose their extremities. So there's a feeling of numbness, a loss of feeling, a loss of your extremities. There's a weakness that comes on you. You don't have your strength anymore. It's poor eyesight. And so the Bible says that King Uzziah was a leper until the day he died. He never, ever was able to get rid of it. And here's what I think. I think just like people get natural leprosy, you can also get a case of spiritual leprosy. Spiritual leprosy. It says he was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house. because he was a leper. And he was cut off from the house of the Lord. You say, well, how would I know if I had spiritual leprosy? You see, if you have natural leprosy, it's there for everybody to see. Your skin turns white, it peels, it's pretty gruesome and pretty grody, right? But if you have spiritual leprosy, there's not any natural thing you can see to see it. See, I think spiritual leprosy works somewhat the same way as natural leprosy is. It first begins with a loss of feeling. You know that song, "You've Lost That Loving Feeling"? Well, sometimes we lose that God feeling. Yeah. We just go through the motions. And we keep going through the motions, knowing that we really aren't where we used to be because we're not living the same way that we used to live. We're not where we used to be with God because we don't put God as a priority like we used to. And all of a sudden now we begin to feel numb. Numb from any activity that God would have around us. Oh, save and accept the activity that we generate in and of ourselves to make us feel better about feeling numb. So it's loss of feeling, the loss of extremities that somehow we can't touch like we used to touch. We can't be what we used to be. We can't go like we used to go. There's a weariness, a tiredness, a weakness that comes upon us. And we begin to lose our eyesight. Not our natural eyesight as much as our spiritual eyesight, that we can't see where God's working at all. So we try to begin to fake it till we make it. And when we do that, we find sometimes that we lose our extremities. We have accidents, infections. And all of a sudden, we find that we're living isolated. People just don't want to be around us. And we don't want to be around anybody. We get isolated. And we find ourselves at the end of that world being cut off from the house of God. Cut off from the house of God. You see, and I think spiritual leprosy really is spiritual pride. I think it's just a pride. And the number one characteristic in my mind of spiritual pride is having a critical spirit. Man, you criticize everything. What they're wearing, what they're looking like, what they said, what they didn't say, what they should have said. How were they standing when they said that? You know, and you begin to be critical of things in your family, critical of your spouse. And you notice, you can be critical of your spouse and not even be verbal about it. You just look at them and you just want to vomit. Right? Well, let me just say this to you. You can get glad in the same britches you got mad in. You really can. You can change your attitude. Right? Or you can keep going down that road and move from just thinking that I'd like to vomit when I see them, to really vomiting when you see them. Just begin to just berate them and beat them up and hammer them and you just begin to get critical. You get critical with your family. You get critical with church. Look at them. Listen to all that. I mean, I'm not being fed anymore. Let me just tell you something. My job is to lead you into green pasture. Your job is to eat. All right? So quit coming to my house and getting me to fork food into your mouth. I bring you into a green pasture, you eat it, all right? Now, let me tell you how that revolves. I bring people, Nancy, I bring invite people to come and preach. We've already qualified them. We don't need your help qualifying. What we need you to do is say, you know what? The Lord's got something for me today. I want to embrace this. Rather than looking back and say, I wonder what they're going to say. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's nobody in here, but I mean, it's like other people, you see. And so what I just want to say to you is that Uzziah has a lesson for us. Uzziah was crippled by pride. He thought he was the one who had the key to revival. He thought he was the one that needed to correct the priests. Because he'd been so prosperous and blessed in one area of his life, he's going to take that prosperity and blessing and come in another world where he's got no business at all and try to bring his way and his will there. And the Bible says that God arrested him in that place. I mean, bam, leprosy broke out on his forehead. And the Bible says that he remained a leper until the day he died. He was lived in isolation and cut off from the house of God. You say, well, I don't think I have spiritual pride. Just check your house. If you're isolated, you might be dealing with spiritual pride. If you cut off from God and from the house of God, you might need to deal with spiritual pride. Just saying. You could like give that advice to somebody else. It's just saying. Okay? You turn just a minute to Isaiah chapter 6. In fact, I have the verse right in front of you. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Can I stop just for a minute? Look at me just for a minute. In the year that King Uzziah died. Not the year before he died, not the year after he died, but in the year that he died. He ruled Judah for 56 years. For 56 years. We don't know how long he was between the time he had leprosy, he got leprosy, and he died. We don't know how long it was, but there was a time in there. Was it 10 years? I don't know. 15 years? I don't know. Maybe 5 years? I don't know. But there was a season there, a time there. And in that season and time there, nothing happened. But in Isaiah, see, Isaiah is a contemporary of Uzziah. He lived at the same time Uzziah lived. Okay? He was a king when Isaiah was a prophet. They both lived in the same time. And so the Bible says that in the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah speaking, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. Two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory. How many of you know that there's no accident how things go in the Bible. Isaiah saw the Lord in the year that spiritual pride was put to death. In the year that spiritual pride died, the presence of the Lord came into the temple. When we think about 2018, I'm going to cover this more next Sunday night. When we think about 2018, here's what I want you to get in your mind, that you're hungry for God's presence. It's time to put Uzziah to death. It's time to get the spiritual pride, the critical spirit, the hurt feelings, all the junk that will try to grab you and pull you down. It's time to let go of that stuff. It's time to let go of that stuff. And how do you do that? By humbling yourself. What is one of the main ways you can humble yourself is to forgive, to release, to let them go. Let your spouse go. Let them go. Well, they don't deserve it. Neither do you. So let them go. Let them go. Let your pastor go. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. Let him go. He's got a lot of problems, just like you got a lot of problems. But hey, we're in this together. Forgive, release. Set free, right? Humble yourself. Spiritual pride has got to go. That's it. Spiritual pride has got to go. That's it. Yeah, it's like that, isn't it? It's got to go. It's got to go. And we look, if we want the presence of God in our lives, which I do, you do, then we got to put Uzziah to death. He's leprous. He's outcast. He's isolated. He's unwilling and unable to do what it takes to get back into the presence of God. I started by reading all the things and hearing, you know, tooting our horn about, you know, the things that we've done. That's not really what I said. This is what God did through us. It's just a subtle change of tense, a subtle change of the way I look at it. But here's what I don't want us ever to think. that we ever get so strong, we don't need the Lord around here. That's what we're in business to do. Seek Him. Love Him. As long as they sought the Lord, God was with him. God caused him to prosper. That's what we want to do.
Yeah,
that's right. This week, it starts tomorrow, January the 1st. You can see all those games. And get to still have the day off, probably most all of you. And then you got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do anything you want. Be awesome. Be great. Sunday morning, you're going to be back in here. We're going to get our marching orders for the week. Sunday night, I'm going to call the whole church to repentance. Me at the front, okay? We're going to get right with God Sunday night, because Monday and Tuesday, Rob Carmen is going to set the table for us. Wednesday, we're going to get the meat. I mean, Michael Pitts, let me tell you something. This guy can preach the paint off the walls. He's the greatest spirit of revelation anybody ever been around. And an amazing preacher, amazing communicator. That when you first see him, you're going to want to judge him, because he don't look like me. He don't dress like me. He don't wear the same kind of jewelry I wear. He's different than I am. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you primed and ready, because you're going to look all past that. You know why? Because you're going to be plugged into God, looking for the presence of the Lord. That's what you're going to be looking for. And then Thursday and Friday, Jürgen Mattes is going to be here. One of the greatest communicators in America. I mean, this guy is amazing. He's an amazing communicator. And all of them coming because they love us and they want to see us prosper in 2018. So it's going to be an amazing time. All right? So look at your neighbor and say, we're not going to miss this. We're not going to miss this. We're going to be here. We're going to miss this. We're not going to miss this. Look at it. That's just 1 week. Then you got 50 weeks after that. Do whatever you want to on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. You can do what you want to do. 1 week of the year, we set apart. Just say, God, we want your presence. We need your presence in our life. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand to our feet. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. Wouldn't you like that to be your testimony? I saw the Lord. I'm telling you, one glimpse of Him will change your life forever. I saw the Lord. That's what I want. I saw the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the men and women in this room. I thank you, Lord, for the great year you gave us in 2017. We're so grateful and thankful. And Lord, we look forward to 2018. Let your presence fill our hearts in a special and new way. And Lord, help us to, Lord, to reap in due season. Make the due season this coming year. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Give somebody a hug, a high five, a handshake. Thank you for coming today. God bless you. See you next week.